Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Rebel Room post-game edition. It's going to be pretty short and sweet because that's pretty much the kind of work TCU made of UNLV tonight at Sanboy Stadium. Ryan Green and Case Kiefer here back at the office at the Las Vegas Sun to break down somewhat. Number four TCU coming in, not looking ahead to Utah, taking care of business, 48-6, ho-hum. Did what pretty much everybody expected him to do. And, really, what can you say? Right. TCU's good.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to do like you said and sit here and break it down, but there's nothing to break down. I mean, you got one of the best teams in the nation playing one of the worst teams in the nation. You know, you try to look for positives, try to look for negatives. I really don't think there was either. I mean, it just pretty much what happens in games when teams like this meet that are so far apart, I think is what happened.
UNLV didn't, you know, they turned it over a few times. TCU turned it over a few times. You know, UNLV's offensive execution wasn't awful. It's just that TCU's defense is that good. You know, they held the... You know, we look at the total offense numbers, 530 for TCU and 197 for UNLV. And total offensive plays, I mean, TCU only had 20 more plays. It wasn't like it was a huge landslide there. And TCU did a lot of it on the ground. Andy Dalton, as per usual, the four-year starter, just doing work against UNLV's defense. 16 of 23, 252 yards, two TDs, no picks. Ran for another 30 yards and a one-yard score late in the first half. Pretty ho-hum for him. And I'll tell you, a good team, you know, granted UNLV's defense has been struggling, but a good team just looks that much better when you've got a guy like that running the show because, you know, he very rarely does he look like he's out of his element.
Absolutely. And one of the plays I remember the best from tonight and I was most impressed was he had about a 20-yard scramble that he just looked beautiful on, coasting down the sideline. I mean, this guy can do everything, definitely one of the best quarterbacks in the country. And you could tell he had the team focused, like you said. They have the biggest game maybe in regular season history at TCU next week at Utah. And no slip-up from Dalton or his cronies, I guess.
Yeah, and TCU holds on. They win 28-23. They struggled a little more than TCU did. Granted, they were playing a little bit more of a quality opponent. But, TCU, what really, outside of Andy Dalton, what really impressed you? Because obviously there's a lot, but just what stands out to you?
Well, just the defense. I mean, you hear about it, and you know how good they are. They're only giving up one touchdown going into this game. So I guess there is the positive I was talking about. Mm-hmm. Michael Johnson with a touchdown. But this defense is just big. They're physical. They're I don't want to say nasty because we know we're dealing with a Christian school here. They might look down on that. But just a great defensive team. I think they're outscoring Mountain West teams like 112-16 or at least.
It's 189-16.
Okay, there you go. I knew it was 16. I didn't remember what theirs was. So there you go. I mean, just everything about this team, great team. But defensively, they're just outstanding. Offense, I think they're good. But I think there's better offenses in the country. Defenses, I take this one just up there with anyone.
And, hey, UNLV can hang their hat on one thing. They were only the second Mountain West team this year to actually score a touchdown on TCU. BYU couldn't do it. There's been some other teams that just couldn't do it. Really quick, let's hit on UNLV. Omar Clayton, 15 of 29, 128 yards, a TD, and two picks. The running game never really got going. Tim Cornett, 11 carries for 26 yards. He went down with what appeared like a right knee injury, which had some people saying, oh, my goodness, they're one bright spot this year. It doesn't sound like it's serious, though, according to Bobby Houck, anything long-term. Michael Johnson, 7 catches, 67 yards, and a TD. Phillip Payne in his first game back, wasn't targeted a whole ton, 2 catches for 27 yards. The injuries appear to be taking their toll.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much you can say for UNLV offensively. I guess Johnson had a good game. Payne came back. They didn't really target him that much, only had 2 catches. Pretty lame fake punt attempt from Roman Lamer.
No pun intended there.
Exactly. I apologize right now for that. But, there to talk about? Yeah. I mean, that was probably the most exciting play of the UNLV offense besides the touchdown.
And, you know, let's go back to TCU. You know, what really impresses me about them I'll tell you what, they've obviously got speed all across the place, and the way they use guys is really impressive, and I think kind of the shining example of that, as he has been for the last couple of years, is Jeremy Curley, the senior receiver. I mean, you just look at the night this guy had. He had 84 receiving yards, didn't get a chance to return a kickoff, really didn't get much of a chance to return a punt. He had -3 punt return yards, but every time he was back there, the first time that UNLV punted, you know, he moved around for about 15 yards and wound up losing yards because he can keep it alive. And after that, just fair caught everything, just no reason to risk it. Five catches for 82 yards and a long TD pass, and then, you know, a five-yard TD run. Just the way they can – I don't know how you game plan for this team if you're a Utah or if you're anybody.
Yeah, Curley, I mean, you saw his speed a little bit tonight. You saw – I'm still thinking about that pass. I think it was at the end of the third quarter to make it 42-6. Just absolutely perfect from Dalton. I mean, that's a tough throw to make.
Beautiful corner route, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing UNLV couldn't have done anything on. I don't remember who was covering him there, but whoever it was, I mean, he was right on him. But when Dalton sticks it right where Curley, right, I mean, just a perfect pass. There's nothing you can do, and that just kind of shows where these two programs are. TCU does everything perfect. UNLV, I mean, they could have their absolute best effort and not beat TCU, I think.
If I remember correct, it was Chandler, and you're right. He was with him step for step. It wasn't like he got torched. The ball was just placed beautifully over the shoulder, and there's not a whole lot you can do about that. And, you know, let's talk moving – well, first, really quick, a couple things we need to hit on. Obviously, the atmosphere tonight was bad, and, you know –
What atmosphere?
Exactly. The announced attendance was in the – you know, over 16,000, which I really didn't buy. But, you know, the really docile atmosphere. You know, the tailgating regulations have a lot of people upset. You know, obviously it hurt things tonight, and, you know, if you're a UNLV fan, why are you coming out to the game now? Let's just be honest. It's getting cold. It was windy tonight. It's on TV.
Exactly. It didn't feel good out there. I mean, with what the crowd was looking about an hour before, I was expecting Coach Jim Fossil and the Las Vegas Locos to run out, because that's about the crowd we had there. But, I mean, I agree with you. I guess if I was a UNLV fan, I wouldn't have much motivation either. It was cold the few minutes I was down there waiting to talk to TCU. But, I mean, just disappointing how this season has turned out. Not that there's high expectations or anything, but 1-7, you never want to be in that situation.
And, you know, look, it's one thing, you know, look, there are marked improvements under Coach Houck. You know, there's the team obviously has yet to quit in a blowout loss, which was not the case the last couple of years. You know, they're doing a lot of things right that weren't being done in the past. But, and, you know, fans can be proud of that and everything, but at the end of the day, that's not going to be enough to make you get up, drive out there, spend your money, and hang out in the cold weather.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to get some good young players in this program, kind of like TCU already has. We get to see some of their young talent late in the game. Brennan Casey Pahal, backup quarterback, looked great from what is it,
Brownwood, Texas, which we did our diligent research.
Yeah, population 18,000, 83% white.
And Gilligan's from there.
So there you go. But, I mean, just the point is this kid looked great. TCU has three strings worth of guys that, could easily match up with UNLV starters. And UNLV just, that's going to be the key, is getting some kids like that in the program.
What are our realistic expectations now for TCU moving forward? Next week's game. We were talking about it on the way up here. It's going to be a tough one to handicap. We're probably thinking it's going to be around a pick to open up, and obviously the winner, if not having legitimate national, I guess outside national title hopes, the winner of that game has a relatively easy finish to the season and probably should wind up in a BCS game at the very least.
Yeah, right before I mentioned that, I can't believe we didn't mention the spread on this game. The only interesting thing, TCU covers easily 34-35, but then the over-under was 54.5, two missed extra points, including one with 4 minutes left, so it was 48-6, and the under came in. Just brutal.
And I should point out that Ross Evans, the kicker for TCU, this is the kid that missed two field goals in the fourth quarter at Utah 2 years ago, and he also missed an extra point against, now people in Vegas will know this, against SMU earlier this season, that cost some people some money.
Right, exactly. So yeah, now
very
that we,
strange.
Now that we have that such important thing out of the way, we can talk about this next week game. I mean, tough to decipher. Like you said, it should be a great game. I mean, both these teams are easily top 10 teams. They're not just ranked there. I don't know why. I just have a feeling Utah's going to win. I like them because they're at home. I think they're really solid. So is TCU. I think TCU is the better team, but I'm calling for the upset next week.
I would not be surprised, and I'd probably lean that way right now. I've got to think about it some more before coming to a concrete prediction. But you know, we can talk until we're blue in the face about the whole playoff thing and how one of these teams that wins whatever team wins next weekend might wind up suffering a huge injustice. But look. Next week is a big opportunity for the Mountain West. They're going to be on a national stage. You'd have to assume that College Game Day is going to be up there in Salt Lake City. Oddly enough, UNLV is going to be playing about 50 miles down the road in Provo right beforehand. But, you know, this is huge for the Mountain West because, you know, look, you're losing Utah next year, but you're going to use them for something here at the end.
Yeah, you mentioned the game in Provo. What's that going to be, a matchup of teams that are combined, something like 4-15, and then you go off the road, you got teams that are 18-0 combined. So
tells me there might not be too many people.
Yeah, quite the difference. And about the game day thing, Gary Patterson talked about game day a lot, actually, after the game, and was lobbying. Not really lobbying, but he just said they should be there, that this game deserves it. And I agree with him that it seems like to be the marquee game next week and really should be a good one.
It's going to be the only game between two top 10 teams.
There you go.
You know that much. And we've already predicted that. Let's get another prediction out of the way. Is UNLV winning another game this year? I mean, they're 1-7 right now, and they got 5 left. You know, we think the most winnable, obviously, is here against Wyoming in 2 weeks. You know, at BYU, as much as BYU struggled, who knows? But
well, I mean, if Ray Brewer was here, he's so optimistic, he'd probably be calling for him to get 3 wins to close out the year. But guess what? That's not for me.
Yeah.
That's I don't know about you, but I don't think they're going to get another win. I think that Wyoming game is certainly possible. BYU, maybe if it was at home, but going up to Provo next week, don't like their chances there. And I just feel like a 1-12 season is on the way.
And you got Air Force, you got Hawaii in there. It's going to have San Diego State, who might be on their way to 8-9 wins.
And you don't – San Diego State, you think they might want revenge for what happened last year a little bit? I think that might
and
be
the year,
mind.
Yeah.
And
they,
the year before,
yeah.
right.
So, well, actually, the year before they were 2-10. But
there you go.
But, no, they're going to be playing for a big bowl game at that point. They're going to – they're very likely going to have 7 wins. They've got Colorado State next, and then UNLV. So, hey, it's a tale of two teams heading in very opposite directions, at least as far as this season's concerned. Final point we got to get to, how close were we on our predictions?
Oh, wow, I forgot about that. I'm glad you mentioned it. You were actually a little bit closer. Why don't you go ahead and gloat?
By default, I had 42-6. You had 56-6. 1 point shaded in my favor, basically, which was kind of a fluke. But
if the kid makes the extra point, we're both within 7. I still got to say that's pretty impressive. I challenge any news gathering organization to say their picks were better than ours tonight. I don't think they're going to cut it.
We were all over it.
Exactly.
That's why we're the experts. Well, for Case Kiefer, I'm Ryan Green. We will talk to you after the next home game against Wyoming in 2 weeks. Until then, take care. Stay tuned to LasVegasSun.com.